Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gokaldas Exports Limited 3Q FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Binay Sarda from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good morning. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with the cause of future result performance or achievement to differ significantly from expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Mail results and the presentation and the same are available on. If you have anything, you can write to us.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but your line seems to be breaking up in between.
Yeah. In case if you have not received the same, you can write to us, and we'll be happy to send the same over to you. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the top management of Gokaldas Exports Limited, represented by Mr. Sivaramakrishnan Ganapathi, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Sathyamurthy, Chief Financial Officer. We'll start the call with a brief overview of the quarter gone past and then conduct a Q&A session. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Siva. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Binay. Good morning, everyone. Happy to have you at our earnings call for the third quarter of FY25. In the third quarter of this year, this financial year, Gokaldas Exports reported a significant jump in total income, PAT, and EBITDA. We have crossed the 1,000 crore total income milestone for the first time this quarter. EBITDA margin improved sequentially, indicating a healthy performance. In this quarter, our total income grew by 97% year-on-year and 6% sequentially. The total income for the company, excluding acquired entities, grew by 19% year-on-year. Consolidated EBITDA is up 59%, and PAT is up 50% year-on-year. This indicates the resilience of the company. While there is improvement in the margin in acquired entities, overall margin has been slightly lower due to cost build-up in our Madhya Pradesh unit to meet the steep ramp-up of the facility based on new export orders executed in Q3 and subsequently in Q4 of FY25. U.S. retail apparel sales remain consistent, showing a 3% growth in calendar 2024. U.S. and EU apparel imports have picked up momentum since the second half of CY24 on the strength of lower inventory with retailers. We see business volume picking up with sustained stable performance of the company going forward. With this in mind, the company is planning to expand its production capacity with ongoing investments in three facilities. The first one is a new facility in Madhya Pradesh. This will increase the capacity by about 1,100 machines and is under construction. The second one is an additional unit in Karnataka, which will add about 750 machines, which is also under construction. The third incremental unit is expected in Ranchi in lease from Mysore. All these units are expected to commence operations at different points in FY26. The last factory that we set up in MP is producing at near full capacity utilization. The operating parameters there are now at par with other locations, providing the confidence to expand. The company's order book remains strong, securing robust near-term prospects. Fall-winter order placements have been good, the production for which happens in Q1 and Q2. Early indications for spring-summer are also strong. All of our customers are seeing good business traction, and we are engaging with them. We are working on improving margins by better pricing and stronger operations management. The longer-term outlook is favorable, supported by continued shift in global sourcing away from China, Vietnam, and Bangladesh, a trend towards supplier consolidation amongst efficient, well-capitalized players, and ongoing supply-side instabilities in various countries. Our company, Gokaldas Exports, is one of India's largest apparel makers, exporting to over 50 countries. We employ about 50,000 people, a large proportion of whom are women. This is a sector that employs over a crore of people, has the potential to industrialize small towns, create more jobs per unit investment as compared to any other industry, and has a high share of revenue disbursed as wages. In short, a highly desirable industry for social upliftment and for growth in the country. Thank you for listening, and I would be happy to address any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Manish Ostwal from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And I have a couple of questions on the macro as well as the company specific. So first question on the your comment on the trade shift from the China, Vietnam and Bangladesh to India. So I just wanted to see, check with the with respect to Vietnam, because what we are reading in the global newsprint, the China trade is moving more Vietnam than Bangladesh. So we are confused from that comment. And the second is, if I look at your slide number 16, which showing the trade, the share of the various countries in export to US and EU and the UK, the Vietnam share actually increased, whereas India share quite stable over these all the three regions. So can you explain your comment on the how the trade is shifting? What are the factors will drive this shift much faster this time than the past? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much for your question. See, the costs in China, Vietnam are higher than India. If India is at $200 per month for manpower, for the workers, the cost in Vietnam is in excess of $300. That's point number one. And most of the players in Vietnam are people who have moved their operations from China to Vietnam. So with rising geopolitical tensions, trade sanctions being threatened, etc., there is a fear that, you know, it may impact Vietnam also, because there is a lot of dependence in Vietnam for fabric from China. So brands take a cautious approach and start diversifying. So these are some of the trends we, you know, very early days, and, you know, we may see some movement going forward to other regions, just so that there is a reasonable amount of diversification there. Even if you look at trade, you know, trade balance between US and some of these countries, it is, you know, the trade imbalance with Vietnam is also very high. Vietnam exports a fairly large, you know, Vietnam enjoys a very large trade surplus with US. So all of this indicates that, you know, there is a little bit of a risk building up, and some amount of diversification can happen, will happen. So you know, there are options that open up for players like us. The other factor is that we, unlike most other apparel manufacturers, also specialize in outerwear manufacturing, which is typically a product which gets produced in China and Vietnam. So we have a natural advantage of taking over some of the businesses from that region as long as we are cost competitive. Of course, we still secure fabrics from Far East, from Taiwan, Korea, Vietnam, etc. But thanks to cost advantage, we are able to compete. But we will see growing traction from, you know, business which were earlier denominated there, which will move to India. So that's, as far as Vietnam is concerned, to your specific question. And as far as Bangladesh is concerned, there has been, of course, you know, political instability there, which is resulting in some supply or some retailers, or rather many retailers, trying to diversify away from Bangladesh. Not a whole lot, but at least to reduce the dependence or reduce incremental businesses being placed there, and they are seeking other alternative options, and India is very much in the consideration. So overall, I think from a Gokulda standpoint, we are seeing some tailwind on account of all of these.
Sure, sir. The second question on the overall outlook on the raw material prices. So our gross margin, one is the factor is the acquired entity has some impact of lower margins. And now we are ramping up that thing, and the new facility, there is some cost over there. But so on a medium-term perspective, where you see our gross margin, EBITDA margin settling down, and over, and your outlook on the yarn, whether the yarn price and the cotton will remain range-bound, and what is your sense on these two commodities?
There is a slight downward pressure on the commodity prices. So that will certainly help the business in terms of being able to reduce the overall price of garments, thanks to raw material price reduction. Our business, if I look at only the garmenting business, which is bulk of our business, is really a conversion business. So we really do not, our raw material prices are really a pass-through. So, if there is a price increase or price decrease, we tend to pass it back through to our customers. Of course, if there is a price decrease, then, it allows us some incremental growth and, maybe an ability to incrementally improve our margins, which we try to secure. So the way I see cotton prices going forward, it has dropped a bit. It should remain, this being agricultural product, there will be some degree of volatility, of course, but then I don't see a rapid spike in those prices. And I think, the raw material prices should be range-bound, which helps the business from a longer-term perspective.
And sir, what is the volume growth in 9-month F25 compared to 9M F24 in our business?
One moment.
Nine M twenty four is only Gokaldas exports. FY24 and FY25 is inclusive of the acquired entity. We have done close to almost 50 million pieces in terms of the quantity, as against 9M last year. We have done, if I recall, 23 million.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
9M last year is 20.808 and 9M this year is 50.395 million.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Dipen Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions on the macro side. So you mentioned about improving demand and destocking in the US and Europe. Could you just give us some more color exactly on what actually is happening and whether, the summer season, as you said, is picking up and what should it bode for FY26? That's the first question. Hello?
From second half of calendar 24, we are seeing U.S. Imports growing. Now, the reason for that is that, most of the brands have reached a reasonable level of inventory destocking. They all were carrying or saddled with excess inventory in 23, and they were continuously getting rid of that. U.S. retail sales has been growing at a consistent clip of about 3%. And with U.S. purchases being down in 23 as well as first half of calendar 24, the inventory positions have reached an optimal level that now brands have started buying. So there has been a spurt of, imports into U.S. across all retailers, and this is also playing out in Europe too. So that is aiding a demand bounce back. And obviously, the supply-demand equation is being corrected. So we had a situation where there was an excess supply over demand till middle of 2024 calendar year, and now that is changing. So this is also helping us from a business growth standpoint, apart from the fact that we are seeing some business movement from the Far East as well as Bangladesh to India. So there is a double movement in favor of, India, and we seem to get that tailwind in our business. I think this tailwind is here to sustain. If there are any tariff-related moves which U.S. imposes, I don't see any discriminatory tariff relative to other countries over India. So overall, I think we should be fine and we should see some incremental business growth from demand from those, from the primary importing countries for us.
Okay. And sir, any geographical diversification or new markets which you are targeting post the acquisitions which we have made last year?
See, we have enough opportunities to expand in other territories, so we are focusing a little more into Europe, though I would still say that the U.S. market is far more resilient and robust than the European market. We have increased our share into U.K. by a few percentage points and are expanding our relationship there, but it's not that significant. U.S. still continues to be dominant with over 75% of our exports into that region, while we continue to export to about 50 countries.
Right, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, just wanted to understand on the macro level, globally, polyester is a major market and India largely being a dominant in cotton market. So how do we intend to grow in the polyester? Because I think we don't have a back-end ecosystem for polyester. So what is our thought process on this?
See, polyester is about 60% of global fiber, whereas cotton is, say, about 25-30%. So polyester is almost double that of cotton. And India's strength is in cotton thanks to the raw material being available in country. People like us who also export a lot of outerwear and sportswear tend to export a lot of garments which has got a polyester content in it. And the fact that we have operations in Africa where we enjoy a duty-free access to U.S. and duties in synthetic being extraordinarily high in the U.S., we tend to have a little dominant, product mix in favor of polyester. So most of the polyester or synthetic fabric that we buy as raw material comes from the Far East, from various sources, various countries. And since we have some of those technical capabilities and cost-efficient production, we have seen reasonable amount of traction in those spaces. Both athleisure is growing, some segments in outerwear also we are seeing now some growth after a lull for some time, primarily because there was an excess inventory in the system for the last 2 years. So we are now seeing the traction coming back too. So we are seeing traction in the polyester segment, but fabric dependency is still on import.
Right, got it. And unit economics wise, we are cost competitive, right? When it comes to polyester as a product?
Because we focus on highly technical products, yes, we are cost competitive.
Okay, got it. And just wanted to understand what would be the total capacity in terms of pieces post all this MP, Karnataka, Ranchi expansion?
Total capacity in pieces?
Pieces, million pieces.
We really do not measure our capacity in pieces because it's very product type dependent. So Ranchi we are expanding for knits in Madhya Pradesh, and Karnataka we are expanding for wovens. In wovens we do garments which may which take anywhere from 18 minutes to 45-50 minutes, and in the south we make even garments which take 200 minutes to make. So really denominating capacity in pieces is hard. But let me give you, revenue-wise, because at the end of the day, that's probably what you're trying to look for. The incremental capacity in MP should net in about 175 crores when it is fully ramped up. I'm talking of the incremental new capacity. The one in Karnataka would yield about 125-130 crores. And the one in Ranchi would yield about 55-60 crores. So overall, I would say, it's about 300 odd crores.
Got it. And have we got any firm commitment for the incremental capacity that we are putting in? I mean, any visibility from the customer side?
So at the moment, all our existing capacities are fully utilized. And there is a fair amount of demand traction that we are seeing. Some of these capacities will come up towards the start of Q3. So we are seeing a fair amount of demand traction building up in anticipation. So we don't foresee a big challenge. In fact, we have enough of inquiries and we are turning down demand because we don't have enough capacity to serve. So I'm not so worried about the ability to fill up these incremental capacities.
Got it. And on the consolidated level, can you guide on the EBITDA margins?
I'm sorry? Say that again.
On the consolidated level, can you guide on the EBITDA margins post the capacity expansion and the Atraco and Matrix merger, I mean on a full scale basis?
Keep in mind that whenever a new capacity comes for a year, year and a half, the incremental capacities have a tendency to depress the earnings. In fact, our Madhya Pradesh unit had that tendency of reducing our EBITDA margin because it was on a serious ramp up. We've now reached manpower count of almost 2,200 there, and while we were ramping them up, training them, etc., we had far more people in training than we had people in production, so causing an overall cost being in excess of revenue. So you know, it takes a while before that normalizes. So keeping all of this in mind, we are still, aiming for a percent improvement in EBITDA margin going forward at a consol level, in the year ahead, year and a half.
Got it. And just wanted to understand what would be the total depreciation for next 2 years, if you can provide some number on that.
On the current year, it is about 125 crores. This has got two components. One is the Ind AS depreciation and regular depreciation. Going forward for FY 26 and 27, the depreciation will increase by almost around 15 to 17 crores and an average you can take yearly.
Got it. And if I can squeeze in one more question, just wanted to understand on the Japanese FTA, are we trying to tap into any of the Japanese customers? I believe the stickiness is much higher on the Japanese side, if you can throw some light on that as well.
So we do have inquiry from that region, but at the moment, since our capacities are full, we are unable to open up any capacity for a new customer. So that's one of the reasons why we have not been able to bring in any customer from other regions for now.
Got it. Are we trying Australia or any other region for that matter? Because I believe, again, we've signed an FTA with Australia as well.
Not really, because the volumes there aren't, that large. So there are a few customers, where the pricing may be very sharp. So we are not that aggressively looking at that region.
Got it. Fair enough. That's it from my end. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sundar from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. The first question is on the margins of the acquired entities. So there's been a remarkable turnaround from what we had last quarter to this quarter. So can we assume that all the problems that we had in Atraco is behind us? And what is the impact of that Kenyan shilling precision to dollar in terms of margins?
So I wouldn't say everything is behind us. It's a work in progress. And I think this work in progress will continue into Q4 as well, and maybe even early Q1. The way we are combating that Kenyan shilling appreciation is by focusing on operational improvement. So there's a considerable movement in operational efficiencies in our African units, thanks to a good work done by the team there. And secondly, there has also been some amount of price increases that we managed to secure on the basis of an appreciating shilling. So this has helped us. I would say that some of these newer orders, which are at better pricing, actually kick in from Q1. So in Q4, there is some blended impact. So the real benefits will start flowing in the next financial year. In the meanwhile, we tend to, we are trying to explore all avenues to improve the performance of that unit.
I'm coming back to this because you had earlier guided that 10% is the sort of margins that we should look for at Atraco. I believe given the blended number that you've disclosed, you're far above that particular number. So do you want to revise the guidance as to what we can look in terms of margins for the acquired entities?
So I would say Atraco, if I get about 10% EBITDA margin in the next year, I will be happy. We're working towards that for sure, and we will, you know, hopefully even achieve it. For the other unit of Matrix, I think they will be at par or a notch above Gokaldas Exports, primarily because we're not adding too much of new capacities there. So there is no drag on the P&L on account of new capacities in the, in that entity.
So if you can just help with the current quarter split between Atraco and Matrix, and ballpark number in terms of margins.
So I think, Matrix is at about 14-odd%, and Atraco is, you know, proportionately, I think 7% or thereabout.
Right. So Atraco 10% movements will be the trigger by Q1, is what we can expect?
Well, we're trying, and, you know, I don't know whether it will be by Q1 or by Q2, but, you know, the effort is on. Again, as I said, it, you know, incremental orders will slowly nudge up the pricing and hence the margins. It takes time to build up, you know, so, you know, overnight, we may not be able to move that much. Maybe if not Q1, by Q2, we are trying to do that.
But my assumption is that by now, all the order booking is being done by you only, so there's no erstwhile orders to be executed as of today.
That is by and large correct. Though in Africa, we tend to book little longer-term orders, and there are repeat orders, etc. So sometimes, you know, you may not be able to secure all the price increases in one go. So, but you are right, all the incremental orders are being secured by us now.
Perfect. So just coming back to the standalone business here, you indicated that there is some cost buildup on account of Madhya Pradesh. So are we referring this to phase two buildup that we're trying to do for that 175 crores incremental revenues next year? Or is it referring to the phase one cost that we didn't get?
Phase one cost, because what happened was we suddenly shot up to full capacity utilization in phase one, and bulk of that capacity ramp-up happened in Q3. So we went, you know, to full complement of workforce. Now the entire unit is working chock-a-block, you know, from a capacity utilization standpoint. So that massive ramp-up, which we did in Q3, also caused a faster cost increase than revenue realization.
But on a standalone basis, if we were to just look at MP on a standalone basis, what would be the standalone margins of that unit, sir?
Standalone margin, which we will achieve in the future, or standalone margin in Q3?
And in the future. In the future. What is the potential of that MP unit, given that it's also a PLI-approved unit?
My assessment is at least 2.5%-3% over the Gokaldas standalone achievement.
Yep, and this should be after phase two also stabilizes.
That's correct, because while phase one will stabilize starting Q1 onwards, I think phase two will start, you know, having that, you know, impact. That phase two, we are expecting the construction to be over in May. So somewhere in June, July, we will start the manpower ramp-up.
So the incremental training you would have already started for phase two?
We will be starting, not now, we'll be starting soon. I mean, we'll be starting closer to end of Q1.
Right, sir. Perfect. And the Ranchi unit that you had mentioned will be under Matrix or will be under Gokaldas standalone?
So now, you know, the integration of Matrix is strongly underway, operational integration, I'm saying. So there is hardly any difference between Matrix and Gokaldas. Yeah, as far as the legal entity is concerned, it will be under the Matrix subsidiary, the expansion in Ranchi.
Right, so fair enough. And one last question here is that I presume that you gave out the margin or the potential margin for MP without the inclusion of PLI or the DBC that you were entitled to. Now, what is the status update on both of that, sir?
MP PLI.
So see, the PLI is dependent on a product type. And the product type that we are currently manufacturing in MP does not qualify for PLI. You know, PLI is restricted only to 40 specific HS codes. And those HS codes, you know, the order flow into India is not very high. So we are really, at the end of the day, PLI is something where, you know, if you're able to secure it, great. But, you know, our focus is to make sure that the business runs with or without PLI, right?
And on the DBT part, sir?
DBT?
The direct benefit transfer that you had a promise from the state government in Madhya Pradesh.
That's continuing. So that is available in MP.
Okay, that numbers have started flowing is what I'm trying to understand.
So in terms of you know, accounting we are taking, and you know, we are at you know, we were told by the MP government that it will start going from the forthcoming financial year, and you know, we should start seeing that. So we are on track for it.
Right, so perfect. But can there be a lever to margin beyond the 250 basis points because of DBT coming through, or is it already accounted for?
So I think there is a lever to margin improving over the 250 basis points. Yes, there is.
Perfect. And one last one, if I may please, as to the current status on BRFL, given the additional investment or the stake that you're beginning to procure, what is the status now? Is that are we still going to go with that 250 crore investment? Or where are we in that particular journey, sir?
So till this quarter, that is, you know, quarter ending December, we have invested 110 crores in BRFL, BBPL, and subsequently we have invested another 65 crores. So it amounts to about 175 crores of investments till date. The unit is currently, you know, from nearly no orders, it has reached to about 40 to 45% capacity utilization. Incrementally, you know, we will not be able to pull up the capacity utilization until all the capexes which are underway are seen through to its fruition. So there is a lot of work going on which will continue through till April in terms of debottlenecking capacity, repairs of machines, upgrade of the machines, etc., etc. So in that sense, you know, we have taken up the capacity utilization pretty quickly and handsomely. So you know, obviously this meant that the losses have started coming down. There's been significant improvement in production quality also. So for example, reprocess rates have come down. The quality of production has started improving. We are starting to nominate this mill with various brands. So a lot of activities are going on as we speak, and it's been only since July that we took over. And realistically, you know, we took when we say took over, we started you know, engaging with it. So realistically, we started, you know, the activities started only in August. So the progress that we have made in the last 6 months has been pretty significant. And that gives us, you know, the confidence and the encouragement to seriously consider, you know, merging this asset with us going forward, you know, at the opportune time.
So does the timeline change from what we had initially indicated in terms of when this entity would be consolidated within the standard?
No, I think at the moment the thought process is to initiate this sometime in the month of June 2025. And go through an NCLT process for merger, and hopefully that will take another 9 months or 12 months, depending on how long that process takes.
So sorry to come back into this, but what would be the total quantum of money that would be required from here to June 2025 for the acquisition of this entity?
So I think
175 crores.
Apart from the 175 crores, I think it will be about, you know, we had earlier on indicated about 588 crores to acquire 100% of the asset. So that's, you know, it will be that amount adjusted for certain working capital. And, you know, there are some financial terms and conditions in the agreement. So that's the amount that will be required, you know, as and when this event starts, it gets triggered.
Perfect, sir. Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just for taking forward BRFL discussion only, one last question on that front. At 175 crores, our stake is 13%. Is my understanding correct?
No. 135 crores is invested only through OCD. This is a investment into BTPL for its capex plans for performance improvement and so on and so forth, working capital, some amount of loss funding, etc. So it's only that. The 30% stake is in addition, where we intend to buy some shareholders out in a process to kickstart the consolidation of that entity with us.
Okay, so 175 crore doesn't include the 13% price cash consideration that you have mentioned.
That is correct.
Okay, understood. So second question on Atraco. Is any expansion in Atraco as well?
So as we speak, a 500 machine expansion has been initiated and we have spent about 35 crores in Indian rupees for that.
And what will be the revenue potential for the same?
The revenue potential will be about, in my opinion, about 125-130 crores.
Okay. And I missed the Ranchi machine number. Can you just help me with that as well?
So Ranchi, it's a lease facility. We have taken a 200 machine facility, but it will work in two shifts. So equivalent, it is 400 machine.
Understood. So, sir, if I total revenue would be around 4,000 crore approx, annualizing the 9 months numbers, and your total revenue potential that is getting added 300 plus 100 for Atraco, 130, so around 500 crores. So, in the next 2 years, should we assume this 500 crore additional revenue, or how it should flow, and how will growth pan out for the company to utilize the benefit from shift in supply chain? Shouldn't we be growing a little higher growth rate? I mean, if I'm missing anything somewhere, can you clarify? Thank you.
Sure. So these are units and expansions which are underway as we speak. This doesn't stop us from adding more capacity as we go along. So at any point in time, we are planning a lot of incremental capacities as well. This is point number one. So we in the next 2 years, we'll be adding more factories. And we're not going to stop at the factories that are work in progress as we speak. Secondly, the existing units also do get de-bottlenecked, and we are continuously investing in automation and productivity improvement. So a 3% improvement in existing units per annum itself on a, let's say, a 4,000 crore revenue yields additional how much? About 120 crores, right? So those kind of growth will also happen, and as I said, we will also look at newer facilities for growth.
Okay, so should 10% plus growth rate, 10 to 15, should be a decent assumption for assuming over a longer term, like 2 to 3 years time frame, medium term?
I think it's a very decent assumption. I would say, the top end of that range will be a more reasonable, decent assumption.
Oh, that's great. And consolidated margins should be around 12-odd% on expanded capacities?
That is correct. Though we are trying to improve our margins also as we speak. As I said, some of these growth in newer regions do tend to take longer before it stabilizes, as we don't get access to trained manpower, so we have to work harder to train them and bring them up to speed in terms of productivity and quality, etc. But now that we have achieved it, incremental factories in some of these newer regions like Madhya Pradesh and all will be will reach productivity and profitability sooner. Despite all of that, in the first year, there will be a negative impact of new capacities. But we are looking to offset that and improve the EBITDA margin in the coming financial year.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Heath Vora from Guardian Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Good morning and congratulations on this set of numbers. I just had one question, and that's per se to the tariffs. If we are going to see an increase in tariffs, would Atraco be benefiting given it goes tax-free to the U.S.?
So, you know, we don't know what is happening with tariff, right? There is so much of news coming from United States that, you know, it's hard to keep up. One doesn't know what exactly are the, you know, tariff plan. But the feeling one gets is that Africa may be spared tariffs and, you know, currently it enjoys a AGOA benefit of zero tariffs. So unless for some strange reason it is pulled out, which I don't see any reason, and there is no, you know, no competitive situation between U.S. and African countries, nor do they enjoy trade surplus. So we don't believe that will change. And if there is a tariff increase from the regular exporting nations, then the tariff delta will widen, which will only make Africa more attractive. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, customers who are hitherto also not very keen on Africa, so there are some customers who are also talking about it, saying that, you know, maybe we should explore, you know, at least we are having some conversations around it. So I feel that it's going to be beneficial for us, you know, from an African standpoint in the longer run, if tariff goes up in other regions.
Got it. That was it. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Awast from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I think you've answered a lot of the questions I had. You mentioned about 15% kind of overall top line growth. I just wanted to understand, you know, embarked on M&A as a strategy to grow. In the next couple of years, will you continue on that path? Are you seeing more opportunities to consolidate? That was the first question. And the second question was more on the BRFL acquisition. How would that kind of change the contours for you in terms of size, because utilization is still low? What kind of revenues and profitability could that add to the company?
So, you know, would we look at acquisitions? Probably in the short term, no. In the long term, yes. You know, we are open to growth in any form. And again, we will not acquire a company just to bulk up or add revenue. Our intention is to acquire to get access to a low-cost geography, access to a new customer, or access to a new product type. And you know, it has to make strategic sense in addition to simply a revenue gather. So that's the strategy. But in the short term, we are not looking at an acquisition. We want to consolidate what we have. Remember, we have only taken up some of these acquisitions, you know, 9 months ago. And there is tons of work required to be done to bring them to where we would like to see them. So, you know, next year also we'll be consumed in bringing those units up to speed with Gokaldas's operation. So, you know, we won't be indulging in any acquisitions in the meanwhile. That's point number one. As your next question was on BTPL or the fabric unit. See, the fabric unit is strategic. It helps us secure raw materials. It helps us turn things around much faster for our customers from a lead time standpoint, and also improves our negotiating position with brands, because the number of fabric mills are far fewer than the number of garment companies. So at the end of the day, if you do control fabric, you do have a better handle over specific orders and you know, product types. So with all of that in mind, we went acquiring this asset. This asset is also has a great reputation from a technical capability standpoint, and we need to now you know, bring back that capability to the customer, which is what the work in progress is. So if the impact of BTPL, you know, if I look at it on a standalone basis, its peak revenue could be about 1500 plus crores. But then again, you know, a lot of it could be bought internally. So once it is merged, some of those revenues will get knocked off in consolidation. But then obviously it may have an EBITDA improvement benefit.
Right. So what kind of impact could it have on the EBITDA from FY27?
So if I look at it as a standalone basis, this, you know, the EBITDA of this unit should be about 12, 13, 14%, you know, going forward. So you know, if it is more or less in line with the garment EBITDA, then, you know, again, if the revenue gets knocked off, then obviously there will be some sort of an EBITDA benefit which you can do your math.
Cool. Thank you.
But then, you know, I don't see this consolidating before FY26. So effectively, if at all it happens in FY27 onwards.
Correct. FY27 is what I was asking.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, audible.
Sir, can you again explain the cost build-up in the MP unit which led to lower margins, that particular part of it?
You're asking the cost build-up in MP unit?
You said there was a cost build-up in the MP unit which led to lower margins. Can you explain that particular part?
So the point here is that, you know, in the third quarter, we started adding people. We almost added about 1,200 people in the third quarter in MP. So now the manpower count has reached about 2,200 people. So most of them were under training during that period. And in the initial phase of production also, since they are trainees who hit the production line, their productivity will be low. So we incur the full complement of labor cost through training as well as early production. And then the corresponding revenue doesn't materialize because, you know, it comes with a phase lag. So our incremental cost was about 3 to 4 crores on account of all of this. And it is not manifested in proportionate revenue. So that was the point I was referring to.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Monish Ghodke from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So what would be the share of outerwear on an annualized basis in the revenue of each entity, that is Gokaldas, Matrix and Atraco?
So outerwear on a 9-month basis for Gokaldas was about 30%.
Annualized basis would be how much?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be around you know, similar percentage, 35% maybe.
Okay.
Okay. Matrix and Atraco is very less. It will be like low single digit.
Okay. So, sir, this margin expansion which we have got in acquired entities of, you know, 11.3%, since, you know, Q3 and Q4 are generally summer heavy, do you expect this to continue in Q1, Q2 as well, or there will be some reduction?
There could be some reduction, particularly Matrix is spring-summer heavy, so where there could be some reduction in Q1 and Q2. But the aim is to offset that somehow by further improvement in Atraco as well. So you know, there are a lot of countervailing forces as well, so we'll try our best.
Okay. And sir, one more question. So in this budget, there was an increase in duty in knits fabric imports. Does it impact us in any way?
No. Most of the knit fabric that we buy domestically, and even let us say we buy fabric for export manufacturing, we buy it under advanced license, so we don't pay duty on those. So we will secure the raw material at nil duty.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. We have the next question from the line of Manish Sehgal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to understand, just purely from a production perspective, Q4 production, as you said, is fully utilized. What would be the production in terms of revenue? And also, if you could give an update on the knitted unit that we had commercialized last year, that'll be good, sir.
So we don't give specific numbers or, you know, of revenue going forward. So, you know, suffice to say that even Q3 was working at full capacity utilization. Of course, you know, what happens in Q3 is that towards the end of December, a lot of shipments get bunched up. They don't move out because of port congestion and other things. So typically, some of those revenues tend to spill over. But currently, you know, if you look at revenue standpoint, we are reaching that full capacity utilization across our units. And incremental units will come and debottleneck that and, you know, provide additional growth opportunities. As far as the knit fabric unit is concerned, the knit fabric unit is producing. We are getting nominations from quite a few customers. In fact, at the moment, we have two or three customers who have approved that unit for fabric sourcing. We will be ramping it up through Q4 and Q1, and I feel that it will also reach a full capacity utilization somewhere in Q2.
What would be the output there, sir, in terms of revenue? Of course, it will be sourced internally, the fabric, but should add to EBITDA there, right?
So, exactly. So output will be about 400 tons a month. That is the expected output. And its revenue will be annually about 150-200 crores.
Okay. Sir, you had a stated vision of moving towards a $1 billion revenue, say, down the line in three, four years. What do you feel now, standing where we are on that vision?
So, see, I think that vision, you know, at the end of the day, that vision is quite attainable. The demand side, I don't, you know, I don't see that as a bottleneck at all. There is enough opportunity coming India's way, and there are many customers who are increasingly trying to source more from India. So as long as we can find lower cost manufacturing, you know, locations within India and are able to produce it at you know, high productivity, you know, achieving that target should not be a problem.
Any stated objective you have on this front? How much time you want to achieve this?
Soonest, I would say, but, you know, it will take a few years for sure.
Okay. And lastly, sir, do you expect Q4 margins now, given you have the bookings, to be better than Q3, given the full ramp-up in MP has happened? And it's a seasonally good period for all the acquired entities as such.
Yeah. So see, if Q4 is seasonally good, you know, directionally it should happen. You know, and again, let's not speculate on those margin numbers. But yeah, directionally, we will be going in that, you know, on that trajectory.
Lastly, sir, how will INR depreciation help going forward?
So INR depreciation will not benefit in the immediate near future for us, primarily because we hedge most of our near-term receivables. So today, you know, for all the way up to Q1 and even partially to Q2, we have hedged all our receivables at old rates. So, but INR depreciation in the longer run always helps us because it allows us some flexibility to absorb costs and, you know, offset some of the inflationary trends in the on the cost side of the company. So it augurs well for an exporter, and it will augur well for us.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bijal Jitendra Shah from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations on good set of numbers. I have two questions. One, we read a lot of news items saying that buyers in U.S. were increasing their purchases from across the world on account of expected tariffs. So I just want to understand that you have seen strong growth in Gokaldas. Is there an element of preponement of purchase and which should reverse in the due course of time? That's question number one. And question number two is on the Bombay Rayon. Once it is fully operational and once you have done all the CapEx, will it reduce your dependence on imports from Southeast Asia?
Okay. So, you know, regarding the first question, Is your question on, you know, how is tariff going to play? I could not fully understand your question, the first question. I did understand your second one, and I can answer that subsequently. Can you, you know, restate very simply the first question?
See, there was expectation that tariffs will come. So to avoid tariffs, there was a lot of news items saying that for buyers in US, US is actually preponing all the imports. So building the inventory, so at least for a few months, that they are kind of protected from the tariff which probably Trump could announce. So during the December quarter, and probably 4Q also, are you seeing that some of your buyers have actually preponed the purchases? Or the growth which you have seen is normal?
See, the buying is very seasonal. So you know, if I start advancing too much of my buy, these are all short-term play which you can do for 15 days, 20 days. But, you know, every 3 months we are buying products with the American customers or European customers buy products which are very specific to a particular season. So they will not go, and production also happens for that season. So they are not going to go buy excess and then hold the inventory over 1 year and all of that. So I'm not seeing much of that happen out of here, and also the worry on tariff is more on the Far East. So there may have been some degree of expediting of deliveries from China, maybe even Vietnam and all of that. But then as far as the India denominated sourcing is concerned, we have not seen so much of that.
Got it.
And as far as your second question on BTPL becoming an import substitute for us, answer is no. Most of BTPL will still work on domestic fibers, and it will become a substitute for domestic mills, but not really, and of course growth, but not really a substitute for imported fabric. So synthetics, etc., will still continue to be dependent on imports.
Got it. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Avinash Nahata from Parami Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So the first question pertains to across our facilities, all everything put together. So where is an opportunity wherein we can add additional shift and increase our production in terms of, at an aggregate level? And what is the practical difficulties you face when you move from shift 1 to shift 2, if you can speak about it?
So all the units except our Ranchi unit currently works on one shift operations. And particularly bulk of our units are in the south. And here getting manpower for an odd shift is extremely difficult simply because, you know, people are not available to work those late night shifts. You have to transport women back to their homes. We don't work on a model where people are housed near the, in the factory campuses, or there are no dormitories that we build, etc. So we will have to pick up and drop from their homes, which all adds to layers of complexity. So we've not been very successful at managing multi-shift operations. However, in Ranchi, we have done that. Of course, it's a smaller unit, and we have done that successfully. In Bhopal, the first shift operations works very early hours, giving us an opportunity to put in a second shift as and when we, you know, reach that phase. We have reached a full capacity utilization in Unit 1 to now. So we will experiment with the second shift, and we will see how the labor market responds to that going forward. But there is a theoretical opportunity there to explore second shift. But in most of our factories, it is not a possibility.
Okay. And if you can provide the, in absolute terms, women working at our facilities?
It's about 78-80%, you know, of our labor force is women.
So out of 55,000, almost 40,000 are women employees.
Okay. And one more data point in terms of our permanent employee and...
All are permanent.
Sorry?
All are permanent.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much for asking the questions and giving us an opportunity to explain our position. We continue to focus on growth, and with that intention, we are working with the acquired entities. We have backward integrated. We are setting up new capacities. We are also working with many of our customers to expand our relationships. We are seeing most of our customers experiencing reasonable growth, and they are doing well, which would translate to incremental business if we continue to execute well for them. For us, execution is the key mantra, and if we do execute well, obviously business will come in a B2B business. We are focused on margin improvement along with revenue growth, and we will continue to focus that. As newer capacities come on board, it will have a downward pressure on margins, but we intend to offset that and right-size the growth metrics so that, we are able to expand and seek improvements in EBITDA margins. We continue to be very focused on, all the operational details of the business, and hopefully we will, continue our growth journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Gokaldas Exports Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.